Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. We are the church where we are looking always to know God, to love God, and to serve God. So whether you're joining us online or in person, we're glad you're with us today. And if you're a visitor, we want to offer you a special welcome. We try so hard to be the welcoming people that we truly are. And I do want to tell you a fast story, because someone that was visiting with us a couple weeks ago for his second visit, he was amazed because the person sitting in front of him, who's sitting in front of him today, remembered his name from 2 weeks before, and he said that was how he knew that he should come back. So he's planning to join us, so this is good news. All right, so I'm Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor. Our worship leaders today are Kelly and Claire Myers and Suzanne Everett. We would like to ask all of you, visitors and long-timers, to complete a connection card. You don't have to repeat all the address and stuff unless it changes, but it really helps us to know that you're here. And turn it over, because on the back, every month, we change the activities, and you can check what you want to sign up for, and you're all signed up. If you have prayer requests, if there's something going on in your life, and I know that that is true for several of you, probably many, you can fill out a prayer request card. Just take it from in the pew, put it into the offering plate along with that connection card, and you will be in our prayers. We have a group that prays every Thursday morning, and of course, others of us will be praying as well. If there are any children still with us right now, you can head downstairs to Sunday school or to nursery if you wish. Or you're welcome to stay. Children are always welcome in worship. Now, would you like to roll up your sleeves and help make it possible for a family to have an affordable home? Would you like to do that? On June 28th, we're going to be working on a house build for Habitat for Humanity. And we need 8 or 10 people to help. You do not have to be experienced. You do not have to have tools. They have all of that, and they have someone there who explains to you what to do and gives you a job that fits your abilities. You can sign up where? The connection card, right? All right. On July 20th, there is going to be an outdoor worship service and an all-church picnic, and we're doing it over at Whitmore Lake because, of course, there we're right by the water. The service is at 11. The picnic begins at noon. Susan Kimball is looking for volunteers to help with a meal because there will be a free meal there. So what this means is there will not be, on July 20th, there will not be an 11 o'clock service here, nor a 9:15 service at Whitmore Lake, but the 9:30 service will be happening as usual. So you could go there, then you could go down at noon and join in the picnic if you want to. All right, another thing. If you're looking for some great ways to celebrate the 4th of July, there are two opportunities also at Whitmore Lake. We're kind of featuring Whitmore Lake this week. That's great. On July 3rd, the fireworks happen over the lake, and you can park in their parking lot. They collect donations for that, and the money is used for Habitat for Humanity. But you have to go early. It fills up. So go early, bring yourself a little picnic lunch, sit out under the gazebo. Then on 4th of July, bring a chair and sit on their front lawn. They have the best small town parade every year for 4th of July. Gary and I go every single year because we just enjoy it. And if you still can't get enough of Whitmore Lake or enough of the lake, you can head any Thursday evening all summer at 6:30. We're having a sing-along by the lake led by Mike Tooman on acoustic guitar. Finally, volunteers are needed for Vacation Bible School July 22nd through 25th. We need people to lead small groups of 5 or 6 kids. To lead them means to help them to get to the next place they're supposed to be successfully, right? To help fix snacks, help decorate. You can contact Pastor Lindsay if you're interested. And now we have a special introduction.
Good morning. Good morning, church. Happy Father's Day to those who are fathers with us this morning. It is a joy to introduce to you and to welcome. I want to introduce you to Josh Hamilton. Josh is a young adult, young person in our congregation, our community of faith, and it is joyful to share with you that Josh is going to be a summer intern with us this summer. So won't you please join me in welcoming Josh? And I've invited Josh to just to share a little bit about himself.
Yeah. So, hey, everyone. I'm going to be interning here over the summer. I'm going to be helping a lot with, the tech stuff around here, the music stuff. I'm a second-year college student, so this is a great opportunity for me. I go to MSU, so go green. And so this week, I'm actually going to be starting a run-walk club. It's going to be meeting on Mondays and Wednesdays at Huron Meadows on the north side of the park at the Sunset Ridge Pavilion. So if you want to, just come there. We're not really going to go super far. It's just, running, walking, just being active. If you want to, check that out, it's Mondays and Wednesdays now at 6 p.m. I'm super stoked to be here.
Josh,
thanks for the opportunity.
It's going to be so great to have you on our team this summer. Look forward to all of his great tech leadership that he's going to bring to us as you're studying computer science, correct, at MSU?
Yes.
And looking forward to all the wonderful music ministry that you'll share with us. He is a talented viola player. Did I get that correct, or violinist?
Viola, yes.
Viola, so I did get that correct. And Josh is a very passionate runner, and so if you like to run or like to walk, join on that great outdoor and outdoor adventures, fun fellowship time. Get out and enjoy God's great creation. Let's join me in welcoming Josh.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us lift up our hearts and voices as we join in the opening prayer. Lord God, over everything, we humbly bring this prayer to you. We know that we have not always loved you with our whole heart, nor loved our neighbor as you would have us love. Give us strength to trust in you and to see others as you see them. Help us to let go of fear and open our hearts to you. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. This morning's scripture reading is from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 32. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "What is written in the law?" he replied. "How do you read it?" He answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." "You have answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this, and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, church. Pastor Lindsay, I'm one of the clergy that serves the congregation. It is good to welcome you this morning. It's good to welcome Josh. It's good to welcome you. It's good to welcome our visitors and guests, and it's good to welcome our online congregation who's either watching it right now or later in the week will be joining us in worship. It is good to be here. I have a fun little raise your hand poll type question. I want to give us a few questions here by show of hands. I'm going to give you two things to decide between, and then we'll do a by raise of hands. Okay, what's better, chocolate chip cookies or sugar cookies? All in favor of chocolate chip cookies? Oh, sugar cookies. Okay, all right. Well, I guess we'll be making chocolate chip cookies around here. What's better, fall or summer? Fall? Summer? Yeah, summer. What's better, watching the sun rise, if you're an early bird, or sunset? Okay, sunrise? Sunset? Yes, along Lake Michigan, right? Yes, yes. Okay, what's better, Michigan or Michigan State? Michigan? Go blue. What about Michigan State? Go green. Okay, I'm going to say that was pretty easy. Okay, pretty even, pretty even. or Nebraska. Yes. So perhaps you had an opinion when it came to these questions, silly questions. Maybe they mattered quite a bit to you, but in all reality, they probably didn't matter too much to you, except for that last question at the very end about Michigan and Michigan State. But when it really counts, people often have opinions. Sometimes people have strong opinions, and they really matter. And sometimes our opinions, our beliefs, our ideas, they don't always line up with one another. We couldn't agree upon sugar cookies or chocolate chip cookies, let alone Michigan or Michigan State. And sometimes our ideas don't line up with each other, and sometimes it can create divide, doesn't it? You've noticed this, right? Unless your head has been in the sand, you've noticed this. Whether it's division over who is the best sports team, or more serious political and theological concerns and issues, we don't always agree with each other 100% of the time. Now, of course, there's differences and conflict, no doubt, especially when it comes to politics and faith and theology. And so what are we supposed to do about that? Really, what are we supposed to do about that when division seems to build and frustrations seem to mount, and it maybe even begins to impact our relationships with one another, with family or with friends? What are we supposed to do when there's division? I think we're called to work on healing the divide. As disciples of Jesus Christ, I think that's a call of ours, to work on healing that divide. And so for the past few weeks, and what I'm thinking about and what we're going to be talking about today is a sermon series on healing the divide. So let's pray, and then we're going to jump right in together. Loving God, our world at times seems awfully divided, from the rather frivolous stuff like chocolate chip cookies and sugar cookies, but to the more important stuff. Help us, God, to seek you in times of division, that your wisdom might be given and guidance shared and grace poured upon us. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer, and the one who calls us your beautiful, beloved children of God. Speak to me and through me. Amen. So let's jump in as we think about healing the divide. I have a few thoughts this morning I want to share. And the first thought, I think, for us to meditate on is, for division to be healed, we have to acknowledge it. We really have to acknowledge it. Sometimes it seems like in the church, for whatever sets of reasons, we like to pretend at times, not all the time, but sometimes we like to pretend that conflicts don't exist or problems don't exist. Maybe it's an attempt just to be nice church-going people, to brush things under the rug. But the truth is, even in our local churches, certainly in the church around the world, globally around the world, problems and conflicts and divisions do exist because we're people. People are just not going to always agree. We will disagree with one another. So did anybody grow up in a conflict-avoiding household when you were a kid? You don't have to raise your hand if you want, but in your mind, did anybody grow up in a conflict-avoiding house? Did you have that experience of not talking about conflict, but just brushing it under the rug, under the doormat, maybe? Well, for people like me, that was my experience. For people like me, who often grew up in homes that didn't like to address conflict head on, sometimes it can be pretty overwhelming to even acknowledge these tensions and these divisions and disagreements, that they really exist. But I think a very solid first step in trying to make progress and towards healing any types of division is to admit that those divisions exist in our own families, in our own communities, even in the church and around the world. For healing to take place in the world, in the church, in our own personal relationships, we have to be willing to acknowledge those issues or those times when we don't fully agree. Whether it's politics, faith, theology, whatnot, what to bring on Thanksgiving, what's the best sports team, where to go on vacation, right? We have to acknowledge it if we want to be willing to find some sense of healing, not ignore it. Not take that broom and keep dusting it under the rug. But a first good step is to admit it, be willing to talk about it, to say that we do see things differently. That's okay. Something can't be done and healing can't happen if we're not talking about the important stuff of life. So it's summer season and kids are often climbing trees and breaking arms and swinging from monkey bars. And I've seen a handful of kids already starting summer with like broken limbs. And it got me thinking, you know, a broken arm can't get healed if it's not acknowledged that there's a problem going on. A kid with a broken arm can't get to the doctor and get the medical attention they need if they don't acknowledge that they really do have a broken arm. They got to get to the doctor and get that cast on it for it to take place, to get healed up. You have to acknowledge it. The kid does have a broken arm. So too, that silly example with our own lives. Where in your own families or friends or relationships or in your community or in the world do you need to really acknowledge? So that way healing can take place, not ignoring it. And I think probably in a spirit of acknowledging our times of conflict, it's probably important to name that yesterday caused some conflict for people. Parades and protests, our nation felt some conflict. It's probably appropriate just to name that. But being united in Christ, there's more work for us to do together. Let's acknowledge it. Let's not ignore it. My second thought is for division to be healed, then, we have to be really willing to listen to one another. So have you ever been in a conversation with somebody where you were trying to work through some bump in the road, some conflict, and when it actually felt less like a conversation and it felt more like a debate? So you may be sitting there with somebody talking through things, and it seemed like they weren't really listening at all. Instead, maybe they were just ready to jump in and waiting for you to catch your breath so that they could jump in and argue and debate their point. Have you been in those situations? Yeah. I've certainly been in those situations, and I've certainly been the person who's ready to jump in and argue my opinion and not really wanting to listen. But instead, if we take that time to listen rather than just ready to jump in and open our mouths to talk, to say the next thing, then that can start helping with healing divisions in our world. If we're really going to try to heal conflict or disagreement, church, world, families, we have to be willing to listen. I mean, really listen. Not just listen for when there's space for us to be able to begin talking, but listening and listening for understanding. Listening, and not just to share your perspective, but listening for understanding, to hear where somebody is coming from, to hear their stories, to hear their background, to hear their life circumstances and situations that raise them and form them and shape them and help them live and become the amazing people they are, but just led them to have a different understanding and viewpoint of the world. When we begin listening to each other and embracing our life stories, dialogue can happen in a really powerful way rather than debate. It seems to be like in the church, it's all about building relationship, listening and hearing our stories, and then working our ways through any sorts of differences. I think we have to listen. Listening. And then we might discover, with open ears and listening hearts, that we might be able to learn from where they come and their experiences. And I think then that can help us lead into that in this next idea I have for us to think about. For division to be healed, then, we need to respectfully disagree, not forcefully try and change another person's point of view. Once we've activated those listening skills and that desire to get to know one another, to hear each other's stories, we need to take a breath and try to create a space in the world just for a different perspective that you might not agree with, just to exist. It doesn't mean that you have to agree with them, but the perspective, it can just be. There's a variety of perspectives and viewpoints and theologies out there. And perhaps it's even a really good gift from God that there's diversity of thought and idea in the world. Man, it would be really boring if everybody thought exactly the same. And yet, how often are we always wanting to jump in and try to push our perspective upon another person, convincing them that you're right and I'm right and you're wrong? Every Sunday morning, Pastor John and I are given about, 15 minutes or so at the pulpit. So I apologize for those times when it feels as though I've pushed my own perspective too hard upon you. That's not my intention. And if there's times and spaces where I haven't done a good enough job of listening, I ask your forgiveness. And I would love to hear from you, and I would love to have a conversation and dialogue back and forth together. I want to do better. As we practice respectfully disagreeing with one another in order to heal division, I think that that means, of course, setting aside those obvious things like name-calling and personal attacks or criticisms towards one another, and instead creating space for conversation and dialogue and a free sharing of thought and idea. I want you to think for a moment this morning. Maybe there's a time when you didn't handle things quite as well as you wished. Can you think about a conversation you had with a family member or a friend or a church person or somebody in the community? And as you think about that, as you reflect upon that, what could you do differently next time? How could you listen more fully or get curious about their story, seeking to heal some division and see Christ in them and in their eyes? A couple more thoughts for us this morning, then I'll be wrapping up. For division to be healed, I think we also have to be willing to saying three really important words. There's a lot of words in life that we can say, but I think three really important words are, I am sorry. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. Ask my family, ask Pastor John and my kids. We all mess up. We all screw up. But it's important for us to name and really claim when those times when we've screwed up, and then apologize for our actions. Try to make amends. Think about what we could have done differently next time. Taking responsibility for our words and our actions and owning up to them. And when we do, and we come to people with genuine hearts and say those words of, I am sorry, the reconciliation and the healing that can take place can be a tremendous gift from God. Not brushing things under the rug, but having those hard conversations and coming together in those hard times. You know, when we're in those moments of conflict and division, saying, I am sorry, might be three words that need to be shared. Last thought for us to think about this morning is, for division to be healed, we have to want to work together. We have to want to work together. As the body of Christ, in this congregation of this United Methodist Church and connected to other United Methodist congregations around the world and connected to the greater body of Christ around the world, we're called to work together. Jesus did this odd and mysterious and wonderful thing when Jesus gathered his disciples and started calling them by the seashore, and he said that he's going to have us be fishers of people and doing ministry together. And then he sent us out on this great commission to make more disciples. But it means we do so working together in community. We're called to work together. And the body needs one another. It greatly misses each other when it doesn't have one another. The hands miss the feet. The eyes miss the ears. The heart misses the mind. As the body of Christ, we need one another, but we can't work. We have to be willing to work together willingly in the church, not resentfully. And so despite our differences, I think it's important to be able to look into the eyes of one another and see the spark of light in them that was given at their time of birth, and see Jesus inside one another, to see the divine beauty of God within one another, the sacred beauty. When we look around the sanctuary, we get to see God's beautiful, amazing people. When we walk down the street and pass somebody in the parking lot that we don't even know, that's God's beautiful, beloved child. When we break bread together in homes and in churches, when we have hard conversations, we're doing so with God's beautiful beloved. We have to be willing to look in the eyes of each other and see Jesus, and be willing to reach out in spite of differences in God's big world. I think we can celebrate diversity of thought and practice and theology and political ideas, and we can celebrate diversity of opinions, so long as we do so respectfully, seeking to love God and neighbor. From the gospel lesson this morning, Jesus tells this story, what we like to call the Good Samaritan. I'm curious if you are familiar with the story. In a time and in a space where Samaritans were thought to be less than, to be folks who others didn't want to relate to, it was the Samaritan in this story who ends up being the good guy. It's the Samaritan who's willing to step forward and try and close the divide. When the man is beaten up, left half side on the side of the road and almost dead, a Levite and a priest, they walk by, they don't stop, they don't help. You know that story. But instead, there is a Samaritan who offers help, who shares their time, who shares their financial resources, who tends to the injuries taking place. It isn't the Levite and the priest who come to the rescue, it's the Samaritan, the one that others didn't like. How often do we make space in our differences and our disagreements? Yet as the body of Christ, as members were to come together, to be united in purpose of loving God and neighbor. And I think the Samaritan can help model the way. He bent down, he helped someone that probably would rather have rejected him, and he offered that kindness and that care and that compassion. I think we can learn from the Samaritan, but we have to be able to look into each other's eyes, and despite disagreements or differences, remember the beauty of Christ in one another. Let's pray. God, in the world, in the church, in our own relationships, healing and divide, oh, it's not easy. Yet we are called to that work of healing. God, we know there's no clear roadmap for healing to take place. There's something that we can do. So God, this day, as people of faith, as people exploring faith, as people that are curious about faith. How is it, God, that this day we could take Jesus's parable to heart, seeking to love you more fully and love our neighbor as ourself? Give us strength this day, in Christ's name, amen.
Good morning, and happy Father's Day to all the fathers and the fathered. I think we can include everyone in that. We're going to move right into a time of congregational prayer. And I was thinking this morning about how we often address God as Father. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we often say, Our Father. I personally find that familiar and comfortable. And I also recognize that at times that label is limiting. Today we celebrate and give thanks for fathers and also bless those who for whom the name Father is painful. So in the spirit of agape, God's universal and unconditional love, let's pray together and offer blessings to one another today. Living and holy God, you breathe life into each and every one of us. You love us as your children. We turn to you as our parent for guidance, for love, and to set us on the right path. Thank you, Lord, for your constant loving presence, for being a light in the darkness, for being hope in times of fear and uncertainty. You are our steady source of hope and comfort. Help us now and again to center ourselves on the path of Jesus. Help us to discover how to be your hands and feet in a hurting world. Bless all the fathers today, dear Lord. Bless the new dads who, for the first time, know personally the joy of fatherhood. Bless the grandfathers and great-grandfathers with their years of experience. Offer steady love and endurance for the life you want us to lead. Bless all those today who struggle with their relationships with fathers. God, be a balm to those who are hurting. In your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray too for those in need of healing, those who are suffer from addiction and mental illness. We pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones, whether that hurt is fresh and new or a long-lasting loss that stays with us forever. We pray for a world that knows too much about violence and retribution. Help us to be more like Jesus, who sets the table for all, who communes with people of all walks of life. Give us courage to actually love our neighbor as ourselves, to lift up the marginalized and oppressed, and care for those who are strangers in a strange land. Lord, we pray for our community and our nation. We recognize the hurting and broken world around us, and we often don't know what to do. We turn to you now and always, seeking your wisdom and listening for your voice. Help us to see each other with your eyes. Help us to love each other with your heart. Help us to forgive each other with your mercy. Lord, hear our prayer. We pour our blessings over these two prayer quilts for Bob Novak and for Amy. May the knots we tie today represent our earnest and ongoing prayers for them. May the words we sign on their cards remind them of the wider community loving them. May they feel your embrace and healing as they wrap themselves in these beautiful quilts. We offer now our individual prayers in this moment of quiet reflection and gratitude. Lord, hear our prayers. Hear us now as we speak together in the unity of prayer that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
You know, I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward to receive our morning tithes and offering. You know, we United Methodists, we are workers, are we not? We are people who work for the transformation of the world. And this Sunday, in many, many United Methodist churches, there's a special offering being collected. It's called Offering for Peace with Justice. And so we are people who work for peace, and we are people who work for justice. Just the way that there were a number of us who were yesterday out there, either in Brighton or in Howell, seeking justice. Whether you're called to do that kind of thing, you can make a difference by offering some financial support. So there are envelopes at the back of the sanctuary, and as you're departing, if it's in your heart to help with peace with justice, you can get one of those envelopes and you can share that.
Let us pray. Lord God, we are grateful that you provide us with all that we need. Help us to be your hands and feet, providing for others in your name from what you have first blessed us with. Use these offerings we bring today for the mission and ministry of this church community, and bless those who are the recipients of it. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Dear church, I hope that you will stay for a time of refreshment and hospitality and conversation with one another. I hope you'll greet Josh and welcome him to the team. And I hope that you'll go forth with God's blessings this day. To have those hard conversations and to make those amends or apologies where needed. And to look at one another and see Christ in each other's eyes as we work towards healing any division that may exist. May the love of God, the peace of Jesus Christ, and the power of the Holy Spirit go with you this day and always, to love God and serve one another. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.